This is John Bruton. You're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hernando Diablo.
Through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hernando Diablo.
And this week, we take on the power structure. Well, that's one way to look at it. We'll see exactly what we're talking about. Here joining us this week is author and musician Doug Esper.
What's happening, guys?
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Like I said, anytime you think of hate, I'm glad you thought of me.
Oh, absolutely. I was so worried when I texted you. I was like, why isn't he texting me back? Like, I know he's a busy guy, but I want him to come on the show. And then I finally got in touch with you again. You're like, I want to talk about authority. And I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
That hasn't been pitched yet.
No, it hasn't.
And all the three of us we all hate it.
Yeah. I started, you texted me, like, what are some things you hate? And I started to make a list, and then when I started the list, I was like, you know, I'm a pretty like happy-go-lucky guy. Like,
totally.
I don't really hate anything. And then I got like seven pages in, and I'm like, man, everything sucks. Yeah.
So, Doug, why do you hate authority?
To boil it down, and this is, I think it's because I'm lazy for the most part.
All right.
Like, you know, and it's authority, and it's also like the status quo. Like, I'm definitely just, I'm just against it, and
like, you should do this because it's what you're supposed to do.
Right. Like, match your socks. Like, no thanks. I'm going to wake up. The first two socks I find is what I'm going to wear.
As long as they're clean. Maybe they're not,
though. Well, maybe they're not. But maybe one is. You know what I mean? Like, eh. But, like, to me, it drives me nuts because I shouldn't – I don't want to judge people based on if they have matching socks or if they shower that week or you – know, in the last couple of weeks, yeah. You know, and I don't want them to judge me that way. Like, I'd rather be judged on actions. And I think that having the status quo and having that as like the law of the land just makes for, you know, goofy standards that don't make sense.
So you're saying that, you know, you can have somebody that does all the things you're supposed to do. They match their socks. They hose off in the morning and head off to work, but they can still be cunts.
Exactly. No, so I worked in sales for a number of years, and like I'd walk in and be next to salesman B, and here I am like, should I tuck in my shirt? And here he is like, well, I got my Lexus outside and my $400 haircut. And I'm like, yeah, but we still are doing the same stuff. You know, like there's, you're not doing anything different than I am, and
we're doing it's essentially the same.
We have the same scams, the same gimmicks, the same pitch lines. We have the same products. Like, you're no better than I am, even though as I'm standing in the office, I see like the office people swooning over his hair, and I'm like, $400 is not going to help what I've got.
For those of you in the listening audience, Doug is bald.
I was going to say, for those of you in the listening audience, Doug is one of us.
That's to let you know how long I've been bald. Like, $400, is that even a thing for a haircut? I don't even know. Like,
before I started really losing my hair, I've been cutting my hair for like 10 fucking years,
exactly,
dude. Like, I don't see the point in paying somebody to do something that I can do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the reason that I pay for haircuts is so the lady touches my face. Don't give me that look.
Now answer me this question. How often is it that you get a haircut?
Like, once every few months.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So you need your quarterly face touching by a woman.
Yeah. Quarterly, give her $20 and trim up my beard, make me look less homeless.
So you do the beard and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've never had like the beard.
You realize if you drove to like East Cleveland, you could give somebody $20 and get a blowjob, right?
I mean, that's not what I want.
I want somebody to touch my face.
Just touch my face.
Yeah.
Don't touch my dick. Touch my face.
Nice and calming. Yeah, yeah. I got it.
And you, I guess you do get something for that aside from the face touching. You have to clean up a little bit.
Yeah, I look a little less homeless.
But, I mean, all right, going back to what Doug was saying, though, like, that's something I've never understood. Is like, all right, so I work in essentially what I do is glorified call center shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't call people at home. I call businesses now. But, like, there's a fucking dress code at our work. Why? Right. Explain to me why it fucking matters what I'm talking to. I never meet my customers, and I never fucking will.
Yeah.
Tell me why I should have to wear a fucking bullshit polo, some bullshit slacks, some bullshit shoes. Mm-hmm. That's not me. That's not fucking who I am.
If you're not comfortable, you're not working as well. Why not just let you show up and wear what you're going to wear and do what you're going to do? I don't know. Like, to me, it doesn't make any sense, and it drives me crazy that there are those standards that are arbitrary, you know, that...
Well, you look at it as an arbitrary standard, but then you have to look at it from the perspective of this is just standard office wear. You know, it's been handed down from generation to generation. This is what corporate casual is. And the theory behind that is the same as school uniforms. If everybody looks the same, nobody's going to be wasting their time comparing each other's clothes. So, you know, it just... You show up in, like, your polo and your slacks, and you just look like you're ready to work. If you show up wearing your Black Sabbath shirt, people are going to say some shit.
No, and they do every fucking day. Like, right. I mean, because, like, I'm just now getting into the whole dress code part of it. But at the same time, it's like, either way, I'm going to put up the same amount of money. So, and I'm not being introduced to anybody. So what the fuck does it really matter?
Right. Yeah. And as far as even if everyone in the room is wearing the same clothes, there's still judgment going on. There's still, I mean, I certainly don't look uniform, even if I'm wearing the same thing as everybody else. Like, I've from playing shows and going to different events through the years, I think we've all seen where there's cliques and there's scenes and whatnot. And it's certainly deeper than clothes and, you know, gets into the attitudes and prejudices that just drives me nuts.
But the reason that the dress code exists is because they can't control the prejudices and the attitudes, but they can control the clothes. Like, they have so many variables to work with. Like, so we need a control here, and thus you have a dress code.
See, but I'm like the type of person, I think you probably would be too, where it's like, all right, so say I showed up in my Black Sabbath t-shirt and my, you know, my tighter jeans. I'm wearing all fucking black. I have my goatee, my nose ring, completely shaved bald. I would love somebody to underestimate me and then fucking sell them and be like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that guy to be able to do this for me. It's like, there you go.
Yeah.
That, 'cause isn't that really the point? Is it money, what should be the underlying factor? Which we've learned on this podcast before is the underlying factor on everything.
Pretty much.
And I think part of it too, and I just sort of lost my train of thought as it, 'cause I started thinking about wrestling. I was trying to figure out how that tied in. No, 'cause I listened to your earlier podcast about wrestling. So, but we'll get to that. But the bottom line with like the clothes and then some of those decisions, like I said, even if there's reasons behind it, what I picture is like people in a meaningless meeting that are trying to justify their jobs that are just like, well, I need to show some kind of value to the company, even though I've done nothing but kind of push pencils and papers around. So I'm going to make some guidelines and justify the fact that I make five times as much as the people out there doing the actual work. That drives me nuts. I've worked in enough companies where I was like, this guy does not have a dress code, I bet.
No, he's probably not wearing a shirt.
It's hot out. Why would you wear a shirt? Good point. All right, now this podcast is getting a little too sexy, so let's pump the brakes here before we can't continue.
Before we all start sweating uncontrollably. Oh, wait.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I just booked a show today in Oklahoma City in August and Beaumont, Texas in August. And I'm like,
why?
what am I doing? Like, what? Yeah. And then we'll end up playing Cleveland and Buffalo and Pittsburgh in January. I don't understand. I do what I do.
Is that the bottom rung of the business? Like, you don't get to go to places weather appropriate?
Yeah, exactly. Because like with we're trying to go to like Austin, Texas, and it's like, well, if you go, you know, in March when it's like somewhat mild, you have South by Southwest, so good luck. If you go in like October, they have another festival and it runs through the month, so good luck. So it's either you're going to go there when it's blistering hot, you know, and it's impossible to get anyone else out, or yeah, it's
I just picture Texas year round blistering
hot. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that. Yeah.
But no, it's funny because it's just like, you know, like he said, on the bottom rung of that business, it's like, okay, so in the winter, we're going to do our Northern Canada tour. And then we're going to, you know, we're swing back down. We're going to wait till about June. We're going to hit California all the way down to Florida.
Oh, boy.
It's fucking terrible.
That's where we're at. Yeah. And just to further the point, last year in August, we did Arizona, New Mexico, Southern Colorado,
brutal, dude.
LA, you know, went through California. Yeah. So we're just doing it wrong. Yeah. Everything wrong.
Sounds like you're spending a lot of money on coolant. Keep that van going.
Exactly. Ugh.
Yeah. I would not want to break down in August in the middle of Arizona.
Dude, I'd be done. Yeah. I'd be done. Like it's over at that point for me.
Yeah, I mean, I sweat when it's 40, so...
Yeah. No, somebody today was like, I walked into Dunkin' Donuts, and the girl was there. She said, oh, it's so nice outside today. I'm like, no, anything above 74 is not nice. It's hot.
Yes.
And she's like, 74? I'm like, yes. 74 and sunny is borderline hot.
Yeah. Just grab your tits when you say that. It'll really get the point across. Like, see this? There's sweat under here. Yeah. Right
for
now.
For a second there, I thought you were telling me to... tell her to grab her tits. Hey. Hey, grab your tits.
That'll show you.
No, I'm saying, you know, when you're trying to get the point across how hot it is,
you just grab your own tits.
Lift a little bit up and you can see the little, you know, sweat stains under there. And like, yeah, just get the point across.
And I blame the sweat on the status quo. See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, authority makes you sweat, dude. That's another fucking thing. It's like when shit's held over your head by quote unquote authority figures. Like, fuck that.
Yeah. Even okay, so for a couple of years I worked, and this is I guess maybe an extreme example, but for a couple of years I worked in broadcast radio and then internet radio. And I worked like midnight to six was a shift I did for like 3 years. And like even then you realize like, okay, so because of the status quo and because of how everything works, there's so much more people who are just forced into that 9 to 5, wake up at a stupid hour, get ready, drive downtown to, you know, some building where everyone's crammed in traffic and it doesn't make any sense. And then for the rest of the day after 5 o'clock, you know, like downtown's like a, you know, dead zone, and midnight to six, like I'm a night owl. So for me, it was great. And I'm like, why don't they have like activities during the night? And you know, cause there are people who are up at night, and it's all because it's,
they do. They call those drug users.
Well, there's that. Yeah, it's. I refer to it as crazy people time because I'm also like, I'm at the point now where I'm going to bed at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
and it's annoying, but you know, fortunately, there's a Sheetz right down the street from me, so it's like, oh,
there you go.
I need to eat. There it is.
There's always something going on.
There's always a party at Sheetz.
Yeah, and then I have friends that are up this late, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if you want to take advantage of the services that are available during normal business hours, like this is the cost that you pay, is
like
traffic and nonsense.
Going to other cities where they have bars that are open 24/7, or like, you know, that aren't all just like, you know, dive bars and stuff, like they have like nice places where you can go, and or they have events late at night, you know, whatever, like why not cater some to, you know, some of the people that are there? Because I think it's a lot of people stay at home you know, they're up, but there's nothing to do.
It's like, I've gotten, like, you know, I've been doing the essential, you know, 9 to 5. I mean, it's 8 to 5, whatever that I've been doing, you know, for like 6 months now. And it's like, I've accustomed to it. I mean, I actually like, you know, having the day after work. It's like, I like not having to work at a bar and work till 2 in the morning or, you know, work till like the jobs I hated the most were the ones that made you work till 9, 10, 11. It's like, and then essentially you're going to be up all night. And it's just like, you fall into a cycle that I just like made me fucking miserable. Like, I'm a night person, but like, it's, I've just accustomed to it, which, It's certainly not what I'm going to do forever.
Yeah.
But I mean, for right now, it pays the bills. But I just, I do. I'm like you said, going back to like, maybe it just stems from being lazy, but it's just like, I don't want to be fucking told what to do or where to be. Like, I want to create my own schedule and make my own fucking money.
Yes, exactly.
Which I guess is what everybody wants to do.
Yeah. Well, but because there's a lot of people that I think, and I worked in hospitals for a number of years, and there's a lot of people who just kind of just, well, this is, we're just going to go with the system. This is how it is, and just go along. And I don't understand it because you go to work every day and people are like, I'm miserable. I hate everything. Everything sucks. You know, whatever. I can't make any changes in my life. Try something different, you know, like change up your schedule, look for a different job. I mean, okay, so as far as like authority, I mean, you guys are pretty self-reliant, right? I mean, you guys don't have any rules, but is there something in the podcasting community that you guys are like have to follow that annoy you or anything?
Honestly, it's whenever I've done anything artistic, if there are rules, I don't do that.
I don't do that thing.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, like, for example, in stand-up, if your entry-level stand-up for money is basically you're an MC at a club. And basically, in order to do that, you're not allowed to have any offensive material whatsoever because your job is to set the table for the rest of the show. And I don't want to do that, so I don't do it. And I had to find other ways to make money at stand-up besides, you know, working the club system. So there is an there's a whole thing. It's like you have to work clean if you're at this level because, you know, no one's coming to see you, so you have to do what you're told. And I don't like doing what I'm told, so I just go do my own thing. And with podcasting, it's pretty much, you know, I'd say at this point, probably like 65% of the people that are listening to us right now know who the fuck I am and know what I'm going to do. So it doesn't matter if there are any unwritten rules of podcasting that we're not allowed to do.
No, podcasting is like it's often compared to the Wild West right now because there's the government or whoever, you know, people in charge of media haven't figured out a way to put rules onto it yet.
Not yet anyway.
I'm sure it will happen at one point or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we don't have an FCC for podcasts.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, I'd say, like, the fucking annoying thing is, like, I understand. I like everybody getting paid. I like bands getting paid and shit, but, like, for example, we use Some Kind of Hate by the Misfits as our intro song.
Uh-huh.
Well, if we got big enough, that would be a fucking problem. And it's like, why? We use fucking 40 seconds of a song. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But somebody's going to, and his name's Glenn Danzig.
And I think it wouldn't be as big of a deal if it was the artists themselves getting paid, but it's all the lawyers and the attorneys and the publishing people who are looking out for that to line their own pockets. You know what I mean? Like, the band will see a couple pennies here or there if it's played as somebody else trying to collect the fees. You know, I mean, that the money doesn't go to the musicians. It's, or at least only a small portion does.
Yeah. Well, that is that particular system.
Yeah.
Works with ASCAP and all of those people. Yeah. It's, they've shut places down, because, you know, they don't pay the man. But, you know, there are ways around it. For example, when the Stone Tavern in Kent was actually open, now is like, basically, Michelle's Music Nights have been rebranded as Stone Tavern in Kent, but when they had a no covers rule. The reason for that is because when ASCAP came a knock-in, the owner of the place is an attorney and was like, we have a no covers rule. We're not playing any of your fucking songs. Leave us alone. So it's, you know, there are always ways around the system.
Yeah, there was an article in the Plain Dealer, I think it was on Sunday, about a bar owner in Garfield Heights, and she was complaining that I can't do live music anymore because I have to pay $500 or $600 in ASCAP fees and BMI, you know, a year, and then she said, you know, I can't go out and have cover bands, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I said, well, have a local band, have a band that's not ASCAP registered. There's a like you said, there's ways around it.
Yeah.
If you really were committed to live music, don't have a cover band.
But that's she doesn't really have a commitment to live music,
yeah,
because it's cover bands print money.
Right.
That's the goal there, is because, you know, for some reason, people look at a flyer as like, this are all the songs that you're going to hear tonight. And they're like, awesome. I'm going to go drink overpriced Budweiser and listen to shit that I can hear on the radio.
Yeah. Everything's a known commodity. Like, I'm going to go and see the same people I see every day around town. I'm going to drink the same beer that I've been drinking for 30 years. I'm going to hear the same songs I've been hearing on the radio. And it's like, what's the point of going out? Where's like the wild,
cool? Why not just sit at home, put on your fucking records or, yeah, Spotify, whatever your medium is. Drink beers with your friend. I mean, save yourself $5 or whatever the fuck cover bands charge.
Yeah, exactly. No, I want to end up in some dive bar in the bathroom playing Swords with Jordan at some point. You know what I mean? Like, I want Jordan his...
And that's exactly what we would do.
Yeah.
I want to annoy people with the music on the jukebox and get different reactions. I want to sing terribly. I want to, you know, get loud. I don't know. I don't understand... But you're right. Like, cover bands print up money. Original bands do not.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, like, dude, like, the ones that charge, like, it's, wow, like, what's that one? What's the main Pink Floyd one?
Wish You Were Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, I looked into it. I mean, this is 10 years ago. Like, oh, I wonder how much that would cost. Why? Don't ask me. But it was like $30. I was like,
yeah,
how is a cover band charging more than what Pink Floyd charged in like 1972?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because people will pay it, man.
And it's to your point, it's true. I mean, I've seen them before, and I was just kind of like really put off. I think it was when I was working in radio, and we had, you know, it was one of our events. We went, and to see these guys up there playing and just like, with their like look at me attitude, like I'm so awesome, I'm like, these aren't even your songs.
You're pretending,
man,
to be David Gilmour. Fuck yourself, dude. There's one David Gilmour.
I think I know that one of the people in that band has been to a few shows of mine, so
I'm not dogging them.
No.
As like, I'm just dogging like that whole persona of like, dude, you're, you know, pretending to be so and so right now, and
because I've seen I never saw Pink Floyd live, but I've seen video of them, and they weren't that. They weren't like, you know, look at me, flashy. It was just kind of like, hey, we're, you know, we're in the mood, we're in the moment, we're, you know, setting, you know.
David Gilmour's turned around half the time unless he's singing.
Yeah, I mean, he's always got something he's
doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not the entirety of the Pink Floyd experience.
No, no, not at all.
You're missing the autism.
I don't know. I just like that whole, I don't know, that whole thing is just that cover bands don't mean, like, I love when bands do cover sets, like a local band that you like a lot. It's like, oh, it's Halloween and they're, yeah, going to play X, you know, X band songs, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
But like, no, people like who work their 9-to-5 shitty job and like devote the rest of their time to pretending to being someone else. I'm like, I mean, dude, fuck me. Right. They're making more money than I am.
Yeah,
doing,
no, exactly.
So.
Like, and that's, like I said, that's in my laziness and my vitriol are probably because of the fact that I play original music and make no money, and because I am too lazy to learn their songs and go on to them. Like, if I could play some Pink Floyd songs, I
well, it's the same way in almost any medium. If you can do something familiar that has, you know, there's past performance here that shows that it sells, and if you can do that, like, you can make money. It's the same thing in comedy. You know, it's if you're similar to somebody else that has already made money, and you know, people are catching on to that because they recognize it, then you're going to get more work. It's just what it is. And you know, that doesn't leave a lot of room for people that are experimenting and trying to do something completely different. To actually, you know, make a living in doing that. But, you know, that's the fucking price you pay for trying to be original.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, and how do people get conditioned to not want to take any chances? Status quo. Everyone's wearing the same clothes. Everyone's working the same hours. Everyone's living the same life, eating the same food, watching the same shows. I mean, when I was in like ninth grade, I decided I was going to wear mismatching shoes every day. Mm. And you would think I was coming to school with like pro, like terrorism shirts on. I mean, it just, everyone was in a tizzy. I'm like, I've got a red shoe on and a green shoe on just because those are the first two shoes I found.
It's Christmas.
Yeah. And it's like, everyone's got to like, why he's got different shoes. We got to watch him. Why, you know? And like I said, they're just so comfortable to just follow that. And then it turns into, hey, let's go see a cover band because it's safe and that's what everyone else is doing and whatnot. I mean, like you said, in comedy, how many times have you guys gone to shows and seen the same shtick, the same kind of act over and over and over again because people are just going for the mass appeal?
Well, the people who want to fucking, you know, God, want to be fucking Dane Cook or if, like, you know, I use that as an example. I mean, he's obviously not as popular.
He's
as
my uncle.
Fuck him.
He's actually, he's in the Pink Floyd cover band. sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just like, I
kind of want to see Dane Cook in a Pink Floyd cover band now.
It might make him entertaining.
Dane, thehateflow@gmail.com. Hit us up. Let's get this done.
Let's hear your cover of Wish You Were Here. But no, like, I mean, when I see certain people and I'm just like, why are you trying to be that? And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm a person who wears my influences on my sleeve. But, like, I would never fucking directly, like, rip somebody off. I don't understand the thought process behind that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Take something and make it your own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said about people, like, the status quo and, like, how you... But it's like the same thing with like music. It's like the bands that actually fucking do something different are not recognized when they're doing something different.
Right.
It's not until long after the fact.
Exactly, yeah. You've got to cut off your ear and mail it to somebody, and then 50 years later, all of a sudden, you know,
your painting sells for a fuck amount of dollars.
Yeah, so basically, it's time for me to cut some ears off.
Well, you already, you know, next time you're getting your beard trimmed, say, touch my face, cut off one of you. Pick. You tell her she can pick which ear, you know?
Yeah. Pick the ear, and here's the address to mail it to. And then maybe I'll sell some of these DVDs in my car.
If you had a spare ear to mail to somebody, who would you mail it to?
Who would I mail it to? That is a tough one. You know what? I would mail it to Sarah Silverman.
Your spare ear, you would mail to Sarah Silverman?
Yes, because I figured that would get the most attention.
Let's see. Who would I mail mine to? Jerry Only.
You'd mail your ear to Jerry Only. This is what I think of your new shit.
I want to cut my fucking ears off because it's so terrible, you New Jersey cunt. Your brother's pretty cool, though.
I changed my answer.
We both mail our ears to Jerry Only.
In fact, those of you listening out there, if you would like to mail your ears to Jerry Only...
Make this happen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Doug, we propose the same question to you then.
Probably to you.
Just fair enough.
But I'd make sure that I could, like, I'd have a camera in the window. I just want to get your reaction.
His reaction shots are the best.
Would you wear it around your neck?
Would I wear Doug's ear around my neck?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
Awesome. We'll talk later.
We're just chopping ears.
Chopping off ears. That's going to be the thing that gets me fired.
Dude, if we did do that though, if we mailed him to Jerry Only, he would freak the fuck out because he's not cool. Glenn Danzig probably would. Like, he'd sew them onto himself or wear a necklace out of them.
That's a possibility. Or he might feed them to his cats.
Either that or he would put them on the bricks in front of his house. Have you ever seen that before? Danzig, there's a pile of bricks in front of his house in LA.
Yeah.
And they randomly move, like, you'll wake up the next day and some of the bricks are in different positions. It's fucking weird. Yeah, just look up the Danzig bricks on Google. It's very interesting.
Danzig bricks. Wow.
So we're all in the art business, and you know, it's pretty, you know, it becomes pretty apparent after you do this for a while that you honestly don't have to follow any fucking rules that you don't want to. So What authority figures are you beholden to?
Well, so
his wife.
Yeah.
Your daughter.
Right off the bat. I mean, at home there's four people and a dog, and I'm fifth on that.
I was gonna say bottom row.
In fact, I think like we have like a Chippy. He's a not a squirrel. He's like a chipmunk.
Geez. Yeah, Chippy.
I think he is probably above me at this point. So there's a cardinal bird that just every day just slams into our window over and over again.
And then you're just like, that's me.
Yeah, we're basically equals. That's me and him. As far as like the music thing, it's weird because I tour with a guy who, you know, is best known for stuff that he did 30 years ago, and he kind of has been underground for a long time. And the band that he was in went on to do some heavy, kind of like, you know, metal, hard rock stuff. So
they made money.
They made money and
you can say who it is if you want to. Nobody here cares. I mean,
either do I.
No, I mean like I like that. I'm a fan of that. But like, I mean, yeah, you could talk about.
Yeah.
It if you
want well, to. Okay. So I tour with a guy named Chuck Mosley. He used to sing for a band called Faith No More. He spent a short time in Bad Brains, and he was in a band called Cement. And he lives in Cleveland now, and he has a band called VUA. But we do like a solo kind of stripped down show, and it's we play like old. You know, Bad Brains, Faith and More material from his past, but in a stripped down fashion. It's weird that we're beholden to this audience that expects this like hard rock, metal, hardcore show, and we're kind of like, la 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 da da da, whoop whoop doo, you know, and we start playing, and they're just like, you know, the arms crossed sometimes, and you see a couple people like, wait a minute, they're looking at each other like they've been betrayed. I'm like, it says acoustic on the poster, like, you know, whatever, like. You know, and we're definitely not hiding the fact of what we're doing from everyone. And Chuck has this really good kind of Bob Dylan, Neil Young kind of, you know, voice and maybe like downtrodden Johnny Cash kind of thing going, and playing good songs. And some people really get into it, and some people were beholden to that past audience that just won't try anything new. And that drives me crazy that I hear him writing and performing good songs and they just will not give it a chance because it's not heavy.
Yeah. But are you dependent on that audience that remembers his past work in order to get butts in seats? Or
yeah, I mean, it's very true. And like I said, that's why we play some of the older songs, because there are people who, I mean, you know, again, most of the people know his stuff from Faith and More from after he was out of the band. I mean, they got big and you know, so a lot of people that come up and they say, hey, we never saw you live and, you know, with Faith and More, and it was great to see these songs with you singing. Or, you know, we had a guy come up, he was like in his early 70s. He came up with two guys who were, I don't know, our age. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, you know what? Like my kids in 1987 were going through puberty and we just weren't talking and they'd be out on the street for a week or two and coming back whenever. And when I bought them a copy of Introduce Yourself by Faith No More, and then we saw Faith No More, we saw Chuck, and we for 30 years, that was kind of like our restart where we bonded over that tape, and here we are 30 years later coming to see him, which was really cool. So
it's
a blessing and a curse. He has an audience, but a chunk of that audience is just like, play those songs heavy and fast or I'm out of here.
Yeah.
It's like, fine. Your money ain't coming back in your goddamn pocket.
Right. We're good. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're and he's moving past it, and now that he's released more stuff, and you know, people kind of know what we're doing, it's a little bit easier. But like I said, I'm sure you guys are, you stand up, you get on a stage, and you start telling certain jokes, and people are like, last week you told a joke about taking out the garbage. I love, do it!
Yeah. There's...
Well, you and me certainly don't give a fuck what anybody thinks.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when it was like, why didn't you talk about your mom trying to fuck you? I really like that joke. I wish you could see the look on Doug's face right now. but we're like, you know, the people want certain things, which I always thought was weird because, you know, I'm always the I want to see new stuff all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
kind of my... deal. I don't want the familiar. Like, if I have a CD player in my car, if I want something
right,
If you want to see something new all the fucking time, don't come watch me at open mics. Come to the shows where you have to pay to see me.
Yeah. There's but you know, I'm always like trying to make new stuff, so yeah. I don't like, I've got a serious problem with, I need to see something new all the time, and I don't understand anybody that like, that's not them. So I don't know.
Do you guys ever write material and then just say, okay, I think this is funny, but it doesn't fit my style or my thing, and then discard it? Or how do you?
Yeah,
I'll throw more shit away than I keep. Personally,
yeah.
I mean, it. Yeah, I'll definitely write stuff like that, but then I'll try to find another place for it or another person for it. Yeah. Sometimes, that's been hard. Now that I'm doing sketch more, it's easier to write for other people, because you know, we have a group dynamic, so it's like, okay, I can write for this person, but with stand up, it's like, well, yeah, I give you this, but then now I have to like. No, do it this way. And I don't want to.
Well, that's the, like, I've sat at, I mean, open mic comedy shows before, whatever. I mean, this is multiple times, and, like, especially like when I was hosting one too. It's like, I fancy myself a funny person. I fancy myself a pretty decent writer too.
He fancies himself a bit.
I fancy myself fancy. In general.
Yeah.
And, but no, like somebody will tell a joke and like another tagline or something. Something that could be added to the joke or taken away and then, you know, put back in is like, so I always want to go. And it's just like, I would come off like such a fucking asshole if I was like sitting there like, yeah, that was funny, but this would be funnier. Yeah. And it's like, I would gladly give it to people, but it's like, I've always been interested in like trying to write for people just because people who have a way better work ethic than me.
I heard you walked into work one day and you had a t-shirt that said, I'll gladly give it to people, which is why they initiated the dress code.
It's actually why I got hired.
You'll give it to people, eh? Well, do we have the job for you?
Step into my office. But no, I mean, like, me and Devin before have, like, I mean, we've always helped each other write stuff and, like, add stuff to it. He's still, like, when he does do comedy... He still tells jokes that I, you know, helped him with and vice versa. Like, but that's Devin, you know, that's like, you know, one of my best friends in the entire world. So it's different, but like, I'd love to be like, I don't know. I would love to be able to tell people like, this would be funnier if you did this, but you come off like most people, like, who the fuck are you?
Well, what if they came up to you and said that, like, how would you?
Oh, people have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people don't care. Like some people don't, it doesn't bother them. Like if it was Jeremy, it wouldn't bother me because, I mean, we have a very, like, very similar thought process on shit. But, like, other people are like, God, I don't want to name names, but...
You can. Nobody has paid $20 to the Patreon to have their name not mentioned on Let the Hate Flow Through You, so...
I'll just generalize it, I guess, when unfunny people try to fucking, like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's good. You should try this, like... You're not even funny. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. And it's like, I have to be nice because you're at...
Go back to your cover band. Yeah.
Back to your cover set of jokes, dude. Nobody wants to hear fucking Bill Engvall's material told by some knob in fucking Cleveland. Get a life, loser.
Wait a minute. Is there somebody going around doing Bill
No.
Would be amazing.
No. I shouldn't have said Bill Engvall. I can't really think of who to compare him to, but... I just said that, like, as an example.
No, I really want to see some, like, 22-year-old kid going, here's your sign. That would be amazing. And I want to tape it and send it to him. These are the reasons that I don't get work. That's the kind of thing I want to do. I want to fuck with people.
Like, Jeremy's like, this is my style of comedy. Fuck this dude.
Here's your
and
sign.
And I'm standing there behind him like, yeah, fuck this
guy,
dude.
This guy. So, and sorry to circle back, but why do the MCs have to be clean? Like, because some of the acts that aren't clean, who cares?
Okay, so remember how earlier we were talking about the dress code? Like, this is what you have to wear because this is something we can control.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got an MC. His job is to warm up the crowd, get them invested in the show, and keep the show moving. That's it. Yeah. His job isn't to be funny. So in order to get to make sure nothing goes off the where people don't get pissed off right away,
right?
So they don't lose interest. They put that set of rules on you. It's like, if you're working clean, you are less likely to piss off the audience right off rip. It's just one thing that they can control.
Yeah.
There's another state of mind that says, and a lot of old school bookers are like this. If you're featuring and headlining, you know, you're not experimenting. You're working with material that works. So if you're dirty, it's fine. But there are also guys that have been doing this for like 30 years that the punchline of their jokes are swears. And so there was a woman that she passed away a while ago. She, one of her jokes was, "I've got size F titties," which stands for fuck. Those are some big titties. Now, I know you're not laughing at it.
I know you're laughing at how bad it is.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I was waiting for the rest of the joke.
No, that's it was one of her like tried and true things. Yeah. But if you've got somebody going before her that like are talking about jizzing on their beard or whatever, like that joke's not going to hit as hard because like that, you know, it's already been breached.
Yeah.
Like, but if somebody's going up before her clean, where they're not talking about that, and then she says a swear out of nowhere, it hits so much harder.
Yeah.
So there's reasons behind it. I just, you know, I want to do what I'm going to do. So,
yeah, you know. It seems like a really bad idea at a comedy club to handcuff somebody who's funny. Like,
yeah, but there's, you know, again, MC entry level. So there is a good chance that guy isn't, you know, at the level of the guy that's featuring. So, you know, he might not be as funny. It might be he's learning how to do his act. So are you going to, the club owner's like, am I going to trust somebody that's learning with offensive material where they might just turn off the crowd altogether and then like the feature has to work for 10 minutes to get them back? And the answer they have is no. So, you know, they put those handcuffs on because they don't trust you. Like, once you get to the level of feature, then you're trusted and the handcuffs come off and you can pretty much do whatever you want.
I guess I'm lucky being in music because I've been in some really bad bands and I've really had some bad performances that, you know, opening up for other people that I guess it wouldn't work if I was a comedian because they're just like with the bands are like, oh, you're willing to play for free? I'll get up there, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah.
You know. Well, we've been a band for 3 days. Perfect. All right.
Gives us more time to drink beer before we get on stage.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, like this is how, like what he said, like how, you know, I want to do what I want. Like this is, I kill it. Like you remember when I used to host the Rowdy Rally comedy thing? And when Rowdy Piper died, I made the decision in my head the day before, because he died the day before. I was like, I'm going to get up there at the beginning of the show and I'm playing fucking Piper's entrance music. I'm going to stand there and like, not to be funny, as a tribute. And people started bitching. I killed the room real fast because I was like, I started calling people cunts. Like I was like, you guys like, shut the fuck. Like I was being such a dickhead. And I was like, I think I've told that story on this show before, but like Sheer came up to me afterwards and he was like, yeah, some people are mad at you. And I was like, why?
What's different than any other day?
Yeah, exactly. It's like this. I mean, at least I had a reason to call them cunts.
Yeah, why? I don't understand why they were upset that you came out on stage to his music. Isn't that like a nice tribute?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But no, people did not take to it very lightly. You know, very good. We want to see comedy. Okay, you will when this fucking song's over.
Bitch. Pull your pants down. Yeah, we'll see something funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pretty amped up at the beginning of the show. I killed the room that night before anybody got on stage.
It happens sometimes.
It happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an environment where you can be more experimental because there are no stakes.
That was the wild, wild west of comedy in Cleveland.
It really was. You know, somebody else tried to do a show there and got shot. So.
Well, hey, better luck next time. Yeah. Yeah, there's no steaks, but they've got like tater tots and they got a kitchen there, right?
Yeah, they. I mean, I think some some people bought it, I think, within like the last 8 months, and they
redid
the whole thing. Like from pictures I've seen, it's because, you know, I didn't go in there after I got fired, and I mean, it looks nice. I mean, it's a cheap watering hole, so yeah. I mean, but I just don't go out anymore because I fucking hate spending money at the bar.
Yeah, I don't. I don't really have a job, so the going out thing.
Me neither. I have a Patreon, which patreon.com/dirtyshear. For $20 a month, we won't mention your name on this podcast. So
in a negative way, or if you don't want to be mentioned at all,
yeah,
you set the rules. You be the man. You be the authority.
You be.
But you just gotta pay us money.
Yeah, give us money, and you can tell us what to do.
Or we could cut you a commercial. For $30 a month.
We could. There are options, basically.
People are doing it. It's the hot thing to do right now. And I'm not just making that up. There are people actually paying into it. Which
I'm is nice. I'm a witness. There's copy all over this place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult to get all this copy done.
It's all written on the same size paper because all they like is the status quo.
I mean, yeah. Look.
I'll tell you what it's not written on. Legal pads.
No, it's not. Look, moleskins are just the cool thing right now. All my commercials are written in various moleskins.
I just actually picture you taking an X-Acto knife and just cutting up moleskin, and that's how you write out all the commercials. Is that the mention?
Good show prep, right?
Yep. I mean...
Got these moleskins for just a couple of wampum. It was a pretty good deal.
Gonna head back to the wigwam.
Well, that's where I'll end up if more people don't go to.
Yeah, Kent, Ohio, the only place you can still find a wigwam. Yep.
I'll have a wigwam in the backyard. And I've got all my stuff in totes.
All right, I'm starting a new Patreon. It's gonna have one purpose only, and it's building Jeremy a wigwam.
Building me a wigwam. Okay, we'll get that done. A wigwam out of moleskins.
Yeah. Is there a lot of like moles in Kent? We could, you know, we could make this happen.
We could do it out of black squirrels.
Oh, they would hate that.
I know, it'd be great. Fuck Kent.
Let the hate flow.
Yeah.
Let the hate
squirrels. Yeah. Goddamn squirrels. That's a topic for another podcast.
I thought they were supposed to be a Kent exclusive, and now that I see them up here now, it's weird.
Well, so they were an experiment gone awry.
Were they?
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's the same.
I'm pretty sure I'm making this up right now.
I'm pretty sure it was Yakub, the same guy that made white people. Yeah, he made the black squirrels. Like, oh, white devils need some pets. Well, see, black squirrels.
See, I can appreciate that. That definitely goes against the status quo. He's like, you know what? I'm sick of all these brown squirrels.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's another thing. Fucking status quo for a long time was fucking racism and slavery.
Yeah.
How about we do away with all this shit? I say we start from scratch.
Agree. I think, like, starting people off, it seems minor, but these little things, it gets ingrained into people's daily lives, and then they just become so closed off from anything different, and then you end up with cover bands and Budweiser and you know.
You end up with cover bands and Budweiser.
I mean, that's...
So how do you stop it? How do you get people out of that routine? Because it's very safe. It's very comforting to know that you have to do, these are the things that you have to do and you'll be fine.
How one word, guns.
Guns.
That's it. Make them feel safe with guns. People always seem to feel safer when there's guns involved.
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody in my sketch group has guns. That's how we get writing done.
And by everybody, Jeremy means he holds all six guns. He'll shoot you with your own fucking gun.
No, it's more egalitarian than that.
I mean, I think there's certain signs that things are loosening up. I remember, you know, going and working, you know, as a teenager and having like an eyebrow piercing and ear piercing, and that was just like, Or like some facial hair, and it was like, no, are you kidding me? Like, customers will run in fear if you have facial hair, you know? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, wearing pants. I mean, yay! But like, I think some of the stuff, or like visible tattoos, things like that. Like, who cares? How does it affect you if somebody has a tattoo or not? That is not a clear cut. You know, does not show their value or lack thereof. You know, it's not a good meter to judge someone on.
I still hold by my thing. I said maybe a month or two ago on Facebook, it's like, what do you mean I can't walk around the neighborhood in my sweatpants and no shirt? If I feel comfortable in my body, why can't I do that? I don't care if anybody else does it, as long as you don't have a fucking swastika tattooed on you. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because everybody can see how itchy you are, Jordan. Because you're pasty white. And then you take off your shirt and it's like, oh, he's got claw marks on him.
Like, instantly I just started itching. Instantly I feel just like movement all over my
body. Dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that there has been incremental change when it comes to, like, piercings and tattoos. That's no longer...
Like a no-no.
Yeah, it's like I had an office job for many years, and I've had finger tattoos since I was 19.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It's like that whole corporate thing of no visible tattoos, like, well, now it really doesn't matter because, you know, you go to the goddamn Starbucks, which is just as corporate as it gets, and there's a 17-year-old girl with stick and poke finger tattoos making you your latte, and you feel fine about it. So.
Exactly. And that's why I don't understand why there's still people that are holding on to that bastion of, like, you know, the uniforms and the strict rules. And when it seems like as things get more laid back, they seem to get better. There's more creativity. People are more comfortable. Break people out of that, you know, that chain. I don't know.
Yeah, it would. You would think that would be liberating, but some people just really like being safe.
That being said, I hope my kids are at home wearing, you know, good stuff, not getting tattoos and doing their homework. Get a job. You're six.
You're six. I'm tired of paying all the fucking bills. Yeah. You can right, make... wife?
You can make Kool-Aid.
I think that I need to get my vision checked because I can't figure out who that starting lineup is.
It looks like Larry Bird from here.
All right. Okay.
Pete, can you confirm? Larry Bird.
Birdman. All right. Sorry to distract everybody.
I used to have the David Justice one from the Atlanta Braves.
I saw him at the mall one time. You know, the mall where all the status quo is the status quo.
You know what's strange about the mall right now is Mall Guy.
Who's Mall Guy?
Mall Guy is he's an Eastern European gentleman who wears, like, very outlandish clothes and hangs out at the mall, and people go to take pictures with him. I don't remember exactly what his name is, but he'll wear, like, you know, just bedazzled jackets and bedazzled jeans and just really out there, but he's become a part of the mall experience now.
It's a real thing?
Yeah.
What mall?
I think it's like East Side. I don't know. The only time that that I really go to the malls when I really, really want some Cinnabon.
That's why I go to the airport. Yeah.
Me, it's just Hot Topic, so whatever.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you said it. I did drive all the way out to East Lake to go to a Hot Topic.
Yeah, you were in a Hot Topic more recently than I ever was.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I was like, I need...
Tell people why, but without saying why.
I was dressing up as a Juggalo.
Well put.
And I thought that Hot Topic would be a good place to find ICP merchandise, and I was wrong.
Unfortunately, it's not the year 2000 anymore.
Well,
where do you go to be a Juggalo these days?
Detroit.
Spencer's.
Parma.
Spencer's. Yeah. I found all of my Juggalo shit at Spencer's.
When was the last time you were in a mall?
Probably not that long ago, but it was within the last year.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what for.
I'm like I said, with two kids, I'm getting that age where I know I'm going to be at the mall a lot more than, you know, I want to be, which is at the mall, period.
Yeah.
So I'm holding on as long as I can, but I think once they get that bug, you know, it kind of becomes, oh, there's people here, there's guys with bedazzled things.
And take a picture. Malls are fucking stupid. I can't believe it's still like a, like, dude, just go on Amazon.
They're all dying. They're all dying.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They can't all be Rolling Acres.
Well, I mean, you know, as a kid, Rolling Acres is dead.
Is that the dead mall?
Yeah, Rolling Acres is dead. Randall Park Mall, where I went as a kid, is dead. And, you know, now there are people skateboarding over it on Vice, and it's like, ugh. Is this worse or is this better? I don't know.
The idea of an empty mall is way cooler to me than a mall with merchandise.
Yeah.
As long as the food court's still open, because I might get hungry.
Yeah. Like, hide stuff in various places in the mall. We go on a scavenger hunt, and when we're done, Cinnabon. Other than that,
Charlie's, get a cheesesteak, okay, then a Cinnabon.
Got it.
They have freestanding Charlie's.
They do?
Yeah.
Where?
Marv and I did a gig down in Lima. And
that's like me going like, I'm going to go to Columbus for White Castle.
Well, I have said that before. Like, I'm going specifically for White Castle. And then I'm like, I'm riding with two people that are eating healthy. I'm like, fuck, we're not going to do White Castle.
This car is not going to smell good.
Yeah. I did drive down at like 4 a.m. Craig Esper used to live in Cincinnati, and he drove me to Louisville specifically to go to a Steak and Shake.
Oh, I've heard that story, but no. I've heard that story before. Yeah.
When I lived in San Francisco, I drove 8 hours to Eugene, Oregon, so I could smoke in a restaurant.
That's a sane thing to do.
I sat in an IHOP for 4 hours and smoked cigarettes and drank coffee, and I was like, God, I miss this. Wait, I'm in Eugene.
Why didn't you go to fucking Pittsburgh?
I was in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. Oh, I'm like sitting there. I'm like,
that's insane. Why would you drive to Eugene, Oregon? You could drive to Pittsburgh.
You could go right down the road to Pittsburgh.
Man, quick 48 hours. You're there, man.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Fuck the status quo. Fuck Oregon. Come go on. All the way to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
I mean, I probably would have had more fun in Pittsburgh, but, you know, I drove around and explored Eugene. I was like, oh, it's the heroin capital of Oregon.
Fantastic.
we were there last June. And playing a show in a college town when there's no college in session is not a smart idea. So
no,
it's like the town was dead. It's kind of a weird, December.
Yeah. it's just a weird pocket of oddities, that little downtown area, but
townies and shit.
Yeah.
See, I live in Kent, so I like when the college is done, because then, all right, I perform at the Water Street Tavern every week. And next to the Water Street Tavern is a hookah bar. And I see these 18-year-old kids with cars that, like, 8 of my cars, if you sold them, could not afford their car.
Yeah.
And they're going in to smoke. Oh, it makes me sick. And then when school is out of session, I don't see that. And it's like, ah, finally. Like,
I can breathe at Sheets again.
Well, there's that, too. It's like, you know, although it amuses me because you get to see college kids in various stages of depression, which makes me really happy,
which actually kind of curbs my depression.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I see. I noticed that it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're out in sweatpants and no shoes.
Good. Oh, is that Jordan?
How do those mac and cheese bites taste? Comforting.
Yes. Comforting.
Yeah, but, do you have any?
Yeah, I would fucking... I can't right now because I'm on a diet, but I would totally... It's funny because now all I think about is like, ooh, I kind of want Mr. Hero. Ooh, like, it's awful.
I guess we're not going to get hot dogs.
No, no, not for a while. I got to sing down. Sister's wedding in a month.
Yeah, you gotta fit into that suit.
Yeah, well, luckily we're going to buy him this Saturday, so it's like, fuck. That's talk about fucking status quo. I get asked to be in my sister's wedding, I say yes, and now I gotta buy shit?
That's how it goes.
Well, I've learned that lesson now.
Yeah, I would, the last wedding I was in, I had to do the whole tux rental.
I'm not happy to be in it. I mean, I love both of them very much, but it's just like,
It's pretty incredible in this day and age that some of those traditions are still held on to. I mean, I got married 10 years ago, best 10 years of my life. And, you know, even so we at that time, we talked about breaking some traditions, and the families are like, what? No, you've got to do the chicken dance, and why? You've got to do this and that. And
if I ever get married, like, it's fucked from the get-go, because I'm refusing to fucking ask for a woman's hand in marriage. Like, from her father. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
It's her fucking choice, not yours, dude. Don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, even if I get along with the guy, like, nah, sorry. Because I've seen too many people, like, do that and then, like, cross shit is said to him. And I'm like, fuck you. I'd have no problem telling a my future father-in-law to go fuck himself.
One of the most nervous couple of minutes of my life is right after I asked my wife's dad, and he just kind of went silent for a couple minutes, and I was like,
yeah.
Well, look at the time. How about them calves?
So you, that's a yes, right? All right, I'm out.
Yeah. Did you see that cloud of smoke? And I was gone.
I don't know. My first serious girlfriend, like, hurt. Okay, I shouldn't talk about that. All right.
Now, was she serious, or like, it was a serious relationship, or she was a serious girlfriend? Or she was, like, the first woman you dated that was serious?
I mean, she definitely wasn't serious, because she was dating me. But it was the first serious relationship that I had that lasted more than, like, a week. And, like, asking her dad was very strange for reasons that I feel are unfair to get into. So,
that'll be on the post.
Yeah.
Post podcast.
Yeah. I'll write a blog about it someday that if you pay me $1 a month, if you pay me $1 a month on my Patreon,
I want that sound clip in my ears for the rest of my life. Someday I'll write a blog about it. You.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm monetizing it now, so it's fine.
If you go to lettheblogflowthroughyou.com.
So far today, I've had dirty. So far today, I've been pitched Let the Respect Flow Through You, and now Let the Blog flow through you.
Oh, man. So, Doug, do you have anything to plug? You got anything coming up that you know you...
Doug's plugs!
Yeah. Well, so Chuck and I are doing more tour dates starting in June 9th. We're going to be going all over the States. And cool. We have dates into November right now. It's kind of like these little spurts and starts and whatnot. We're going to be in Cleveland August 5th. Location to be determined.
Yeah.
We're trying to find the right place. We're in Youngstown August 6th at... Chippers. We are at Howlers in Pittsburgh. If you're from San Francisco, it's a great opportunity to drive out to Howlers in Pittsburgh on July 29th. Let's see. I think most of the other stuff is kind of, we have like Chicago and things like that.
Well, we have listeners in Chicago. So,
and Detroit. I don't know if you guys
Chicago, Detroit. Yeah. We have a lot of listeners there.
All right. So, Chicago, we have two shows. We're playing a benefit show on July 1st for the family of a musician, Doug Smith. He's a drummer, singer that we played with last year. He passed away super young, and he's really cool. So we're doing a free show for him, and all the proceeds go to his family to help pay for the funeral and all that stuff. And that is at a place called the Cairo Ale House in West Chicago. It's like an hour west of Chicago. And Detroit, we're playing July 2nd, the next night, in Ypsilanti, at the Maidstone Theater. That's gonna be a cool show. And one of the bands we're playing with, the singer wears a cape, just saying. And then, yeah, Kalamazoo.
Where are you guys playing at Kalamazoo? Shakespeare's?
I don't know. Cause it's not until October. So I know we have a date, but it's not, off the top of my head where we're playing.
You have it booked though?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if it's Shakespeare's because my buddy runs that place.
Yeah. It is booked. I don't know if it's announced.
What about your books?
Books. I have a novel called A Life of Inches. That is a lot less
dirty. Welcome to my life.
A lot less dirty.
2 inches.
A Life of Inch. it's like a coming of age kind of story based in Cleveland. Two kids who play minor league baseball growing up and falling in love with the same gal. It's a typical American tale there. No, she's no Fievel. But and then I have just some very short stories. I have another novel coming out, but not until next year. So I'm not going to promote it because you guys, hopefully, maybe I'll be on next year.
Yeah, definitely.
There's plenty of things I hate. So
yeah, we learned.
Yeah.
There's lots to hate.
Yeah.
And then our plugs, of course. Shout out to Pete Melk, who records it for us every week here at Milky Way Recordings. It's homie for homies here. And then, of course, Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can find her on the Instagram. That's Sam Holmes, like you live in, not Holmes, like you hang with. And, of course, our sponsors, Rain Clothing and the Aqueduct Brewery on Grant Street in Akron. Both those are the network sponsors. And then our new show sponsors.
Woo!
Chad Weaver, comedian Chad Weaver, sponsors the show, and songwriter Britt Fox. So if you, the commercials for them will be out shortly, maybe even this episode. I haven't planned that far ahead because I'm a goddamn genius. And
well put.
Yeah. Fight the status quo. That's right. Push back.
Yeah. If you want to contribute to the show and help us keep going, it's patreon.com, patreon.com/dirtysheer. Wide variety of ways to support the show there, because this costs money and I need it not to, because this is all I do. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates authority as much as Doug Esper.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniels is drunk in me.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.